Final hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on this Thursday afternoon. We welcome in Elliot Freeman, who joins us every Thursday at this time from Sportsnet. Hockey night in Canada. He does it all. Dirty thoughts. He does it all. And he now joins us. Elliot, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. How are you guys doing?
Well, we had our first, you know, we knew it was when, not if. And, you know, unfortunately, it happened here involving the Predators on Tuesday night when we started getting wind Tuesday morning after we were talking about Monday night's game at Bridgestone Arena against the Hurricanes. We knew at the time Jordan Staal was out of the lineup. He was on the COVID list for Carolina, but started percolating Tuesday morning that, rut-row, this game could get postponed, and sure enough, it did. And now the Hurricanes have had to shut everything down, and it looks like they'll be shut down at least through the weekend, and then reassess. Yep. But the Stars have gone through it. Unfortunately, right now it's been happening to teams in the Predators division. But this is what it is, and this is how the NHL will have to navigate through these waters for the rest of this regular season.
That's true, and I think the concern that you start to get here is, you know, how are you going to be able to catch up? There's not a lot of runway. And the season is compressed as it is. It's basically one game every 2 days. And there's a little bit of time between the end of the year and when the playoffs are supposed to begin. But, you know, this is really going to compress for certain players. It'll do it for teams. We'll do it for Dallas. They'll do it for Carolina. And, you know, they haven't had any games canceled on their own accord. But all of a sudden, Florida's had four.
Yep.
Kind of closed on them. So, you know, it's a real challenge. There's no, for the schedule makers and for the teams. You know, I was talking about it last night with someone. You know, at what point are we looking at here where some teams don't get to play the full 56? And you hope it doesn't get there, but you see the challenges.
Well, that is a really good point. We've been talking about it on the show. Yes, there's been, you know, plans in place for when this happens to figure out, and we had David Poile on Tuesday, and I asked him, I said, you know, is the plan, you know, this game was supposed to be a home game. Whenever you can make up this game against Carolina, does it, you know, is it guaranteed that it's back here in Nashville, or does it have to be made up in Raleigh? How does that work? And he said, you know, yes, the plan would be for it to be made up here, but as this goes along and plays out, you never know. At some point, the league will just have to figure out however they can get a game in, they'll have to get a game in. But you're right, like as these games begin to mount, right, like how do you cram all this in? And initially you wanted to wrap things up by the first week of May. At some point, I wonder if that becomes impossible for some teams.
Well, there's a couple of things there. First of all, I would always say that David Poile knows more than I do, so for a lot of different reasons. But I do think we will get to the point. I know that the league has discussed what would happen if they have to play the game on the road. You know, for example, if it just makes sense, would they play the game just in Carolina, but Nashville would be the quote-unquote the home team? So they would get last change and everything that comes with that. I know that's been talked about. People, we may have no other choice but to do that. So that's definitely on the table. And, you know, as the league has said, if not everybody plays 56, it's going to come down to points percentage. And the other thing I talked about, and we taped one of our podcasts today for tomorrow, is if you guys are baseball fans, you know that sometimes baseball has games to make up over rainouts, and they don't get made up if they don't matter. Like if we come down to the end of the year and it's two teams that don't matter or playoff position doesn't matter, I wonder if that becomes a situation where they say, like, you know, say, for example, you know, we're getting late in the year and there's no place to make it up except for after the season's over. And let's just say, for argument's sake, you guys are locked into second place and Carolina's locked into third place. They simply say, we don't need to do this. But that's a question that's way down the road. It's just something we're spitballing today as we were talking about it.
We've been scatterbrained today, so I'm going to fall on the sword if I did do this. Nobody has told me this, but I just started thinking about this in my head. Guys, did I say 30 thoughts out of the gates, or did I say 31?
Oh, who cares?
No, but if I left a thought out, that's on me. But like I said,
I think you said 31.
Did I say 31? Okay. We've been, like I said, we've been all over the place today, Elliot, so it may have been my time.
You notice I'm not saying anything.
I knew you wouldn't, so I figured I'd jump in.
Everybody down there is thrown off by Ryan Johansson saying he has orangutan arms. So.
Yes, he did say that.
No, you guys are all thinking about that, so you're forgetting that, you know, other things are out there.
Oh, well, I hope I did say 31. You know, if we had a naughty list, I know the holidays are past us. It looks like, with all this being said, that the Capitals would be on the naughty list. What are your thoughts on what just transpired with them in a hotel room?
Well, I mean, obviously last night when it happened, you're surprised. You're trying to figure it out what's going on there. I think there's two things here. I had a number of fans tweeting at me, and if you saw the Instagram post today from Alexander Ovechkin's wife, you know, she brought up a lot of people saying, hey, you know, they're together on the bench. They're together celebrating goals. You know, what's the big deal? And I think there's a couple of things at play. Number one, as we're talking about here, we've had outbreaks in Dallas and Carolina, and they think, you know, everybody has to be disciplined in trying to contain them. But the other thing I think this is really about is it's about, you know, they have a team right now that isn't allowed to go home. And that's San Jose. And I'm not sure how familiar you are with what's going on up here in Canada, but they have some teams that are being given, the opportunity because they're very strict on their testing and strict on their rules to travel and across provincial borders that the general public really isn't entitled to. And, you know, we have right now where I live in Toronto, we're in a lockdown. And the teams are allowed to play. And it's been, obviously, it's a bit controversial. And I think what the league is saying is that they're letting all these governments know that we are going to enforce our rules. They don't want any situation where some government can figure out that, oh, we've given you a possibility about doing this, and we've given you permission to do this, and you're not being serious about it. And they want to get the Sharks back to San Jose. And the only way you're going to be able to do that is if you convince the people who make these decisions that you're serious about it. So I think that's kind of where this came from. If you read through the COVID travel protocols, it's pretty clear. You can't have anyone in your hotel room. The only people allowed in there are either people who clean the room or someone who needs to service the room. And it's when you're not there. As a matter of fact, the NBA changed its protocols to match the NHL protocols last week on hotel rooms. So, you know, I think that's what this is. Yes, it's making an example out of somebody. Yes, I think some people think it's really heavy-handed. But I see why the NHL is doing it. They have to send a message to the authorities that are allowing them to have some abilities that regular public can't have, that they're taking it seriously, and if they find a violation, they're going to punish it.
Talk to Elliot Friedman, 31 Thoughts. He's going to join us every Thursday again throughout the season. This is where you want to be to talk some good hockey. Elliot, I thought, and Matt Duchene echoed this. He does a weekly radio interview on our station in the morning. And it was a really well-played game between Carolina and Nashville. Nashville comes up short. And the question was asked to Duchene, you know, when he's watching other games, what does the quality of play look like overall? What kind of feedback are you getting? Matt said when he was looking at other games, he saw it a little bit all over the map. He felt really good about the quality of that Carolina-Nashville game. But in terms of not having, the customary training camp and the exhibition games and whatnot, what are you seeing?
Well, you got me at the wrong time because I worked Toronto-Edmonton last night, which was the worst game I've seen all year. Mm. And I was actually really disappointed because that's Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid, and it should be a showcase. And unfortunately, it was a total dud. I think, and then right after that, it wasn't a national game. It was Montreal-Vancouver, which was 6-5 in a shootout and not a whistle in the overtime, and it was one of the best games of the year. So, you know, I think it's been a little bit scrambly. There were no exhibition games, and teams are going to probably practice less than they ever have. I mean, the only time teams are getting to really practice is a team like Florida, who suddenly got a ton of holes in their schedule. And sometimes I think the lack of practice is a good thing because it means less structure. And as you guys know, the less people play defense, the more entertaining it is. I think Duchesne's comment is pretty fair. I think it's kind of been all over the map. There have been some really good games. There have been some not-so-good games. I've seen some situations where back-to-backs against certain teams has created a little more hate. I've seen some situations where it's created a little bit of boredom. I do like the schedule a lot, and I hope that the NHL goes to it in the future. But, you know, I just think the toughest thing, guys, is the it's just the whole stress of playing while COVID. I mean, during the time of COVID. Like, I think that, you know, you look at what's happened in Dallas, you look at what's happening in Carolina, I think it's nerve-wracking for people, and it's a real big challenge to play in the middle of.
Boy, I think you're absolutely right. So we'll try to stay on the hockey. It's more fun to talk about that than these things, but they're ever present for sure. Of course, Nashville just had a game canceled with Carolina. They'll play Dallas, knock on wood, tomorrow for Dallas's first game. So they're right in the middle of this thing. Nashville, as you know, Elliot's got a lot of new pieces. So far, pretty good early returns. They're going to get Mikhail Granlund back in theory, maybe by Sunday, according to David Poile. Practice today. The quarantine is finally over. But I want to ask you about one specifically. Eric Halla, it's interesting. Like, they just played Carolina. He started last year in Carolina. He gets moved in the season, and here he is in Nashville for a pretty good bargain. He's a couple years removed from a pretty special season, and this is his fifth team overall. So just give me your thoughts on what is the realistic expectation of what they might get here.
Well, I think Eric Hall is a really good player. I think he's a really talented guy. Do you guys know what his nickname is?
Do tell.
His nickname is Eric Hall of Famer.
Okay.
And they gave it to him in Minnesota because he's a really confident guy. And, like, he thought he, like, it's kind of funny. One of his teammates explained it to me. He's very confident. He's a big believer in himself, which is nothing wrong with that. I got no problem with that. And, like, he thought he was very, like, he believed in himself so much that they joked that he thinks he's a Hall of Famer. So they started calling him Eric Hall of Famer. And it kind of stuck. And, you know, I just think that Halla, like, people like him. Like I said, he's a good player, but I think that this year he got caught in the contract squeeze. If you look around the league, same thing with Granlund, really. If you look around the league, how many forwards signed for big deals? Like, nobody. You know, Taylor Hall got 1 year, $8 million. Toffoli got a deal with some term in Montreal, but a lot of forwards really got squeezed. And as a result, people got, you know, a good deal on good players. And I think your guys are one of them. He had a really tough year last year, like that whole situation between, you know, Carolina, Florida, and all that. It just didn't work out for him. And it was the wrong time to have a tough year. But I'll tell you this. I saw him in Minnesota. I liked him. I saw him in Vegas. I really liked him. Last year was a really rough year. I think he's a better player than he showed last year, and I think you guys getting him 1 year, $1 million was a great steal. Like, I know there was a ton of interest in him this year, and he simply got squeezed, and he could pick the best opportunity for him. I know Dallas was in on him. He chose you guys, and I think you'll benefit for it. I think he's a really good player.
All right, now we have a little story to tell for the broadcast tomorrow. So Darren, I know, is taking notes as well as I with the Hall of Famer. So, Elliot, I was listening to you and Jeff on your podcast, you know, in your preseason rundown of the different teams. Maybe this is a little more wishful thinking on my part than it should be, but I'm curious to see Dallas. It's hard to quantify what the positive tests will do here to them at the start. But I just look at not having Bishop, not having Sagan for so long, and I just wonder, especially with the whole, you know, grind of the bubble last year, are they a little bit more vulnerable than it would appear for a team that's the Western Conference champion?
I think it's possible. Like, I'm really, like, one of the guys who's taken the longest to come back to practice here is their best player, and that's Haskinen. So you're always curious to know, you know, what does that mean? What's that going to mean for him? You know, he's a really critical player for them. He had a fantastic playoff. I mean, you just hope that he's back to 100% and he's ready to go for his own sake. But, you know, Sagan's a loss. Bishop is a loss. The one thing I think that, like, I think the teams that are best structured are best prepared to handle this. And the Stars actually do play with great structure. So when I look at them and I see what's the positive thing for them is that, you know, it's like the Islanders. They always play a certain way, no matter what happens. And with Dallas, I look at them and I say they're going to have time to practice and get back into their structure. And I think that could really help them. You know, they need Khudobin to be just as good as he was last year. I agree with you that Sagan's a loss. I'm curious to see Haskinen, because he's a great player. I hope he's okay and everything. I just think their structure really helps them, guys, that you know that there's generally a way they're going to play. And for that, I think that'll be good for them. It's just a matter of, again, is Khudobin like he was last year? If the answer is yes, they're probably going to be fine.
We're talking to Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet, Hockey Night in Canada, 31 Thoughts, the column and the podcast. I'm curious of, and I know it's early and it's going to get even more difficult once the American League starts playing, but from people you've talked to, how are you hearing that the whole taxi squad and moving players off the taxi squad to the main roster and then to the minor league roster, how do you feel that it's working so far?
You know, the only place that I really, and I know the teams are really upset about it, is the goaltenders. You know, I like the Canadian teams in particular with the quarantines, it's been a real issue for them. You know, Edmonton got really stuck, to the point where because of the quarantines and their schedule and, you know, in Canada, if you're outside the team bubble, you can't go across the provincial borders without quarantine. So it's a real challenge up here. And the fact that you have to put goalies on waivers to get them back and forth through your taxi squad, it's cost teams in a couple of places. I think everybody likes the flexibility. Everybody likes the ability to create themselves cap room. What they don't like is how some teams have been just clobbered in goal. Especially Edmonton, because their goaltenders are vulnerable. Now, I had looked into earlier this week if the league was going to change that, maybe create a situation where you wouldn't have to move the goalies back and forth that way, but I was told at this time it's not their plan.
Wow, yeah, and I could see that being an issue. Another thing I wanted to ask you about that I read in your column, somebody that these guys got to know real well, and I remember seeing playing, Tom Fitzgerald, who's now the GM with the New Jersey Devils. You mentioned that this is basically a one-year contract for him. So explain that of just that whole process, and is this essentially a prove-it year?
Well, it's kind of a weird situation, right? You know, last year, you'll remember, there was a situation in the summer where you know, they were doing interviews for their general manager job. They had a lot of contenders. And then if you'll remember, John Chayka, the GM in Arizona, resigned. And there were a lot of rumors, and, you know, I was one of the people who created them, saying that he could end up in New Jersey in kind of a bigger role. And, you know, Chayka's situation, he's had a hearing with the NHL about what he's eligible and not to do. And as far as I know, there hasn't been a ruling yet. But Tom Fitzgerald got the GM job, and I didn't think anything about it. And, you know, I think that I was talking to someone this week, and they mentioned that the rumor's kind of there about that he's got, like, a unique contract. Now, when Ray Shiro was still the GM in New Jersey, he had a long-term extension, and he gave Fitzgerald one too. But his contract, he was given a kind of, like, I don't know if separate deal is the right term, but he has a contract to be with the team for a while, and he's got a contract to be the GM, but the GM contract is only a year in length. So, you know, we'll see. New Jersey is off to a good start. I like the move Fitzgerald's made. And, you know, but the other thing, too, is that, you know, Fitzgerald used to be in Pittsburgh. They've had some changes there. You know, would that be something that Pittsburgh would consider? And I'll tell you something else, too. Someone else brought to me the point of Nashville. You guys have had some changes in your organization. Would you ever think of wanting to bring him there either? So, you know, like, it's just something that's popped up, like, it's sort of industry gossip. That's what, you know, people kind of said to me, was that his structure is a little bit unique, and we'll see where it goes. But if, you know, the Devils, you know, it's been early, but the Devils look like they've been improved. If they continue to improve, that's very good for Fitzgerald's resume.
No doubt about it. Elliot, we always appreciate the visits every Thursday. Thanks for doing this. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Take good care.
All right, you too. That is Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet, Hockey Night in Canada, 31 Thoughts. Check it out. And we always enjoy his visits. With the holiday season over, the sports calendar is in full swing, including this week. From collegiate to professional sports, there's no shortage of action. There's no better place for you to get in on all that action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. If you haven't tried it out, DraftKings Sportsbook will tell you, what are you waiting for? Jump in there. To celebrate the football playoffs, DraftKings is going to give all new players a chance to bet on any of this weekend's professional football games at 100-1 odds. What do you have to do? That means you bet $1 of your money on any game this weekend. And if your team wins, cash that $100. And while the football playoffs are going on this Sunday, don't forget, basketball season is tipped off. Jump in there, get the app, download it, and take advantage of the daily odds boost. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Making it easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. All you have to do is download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app. Right now, use the promo code 1025GAME, and when you sign up, get 100-1 odds on any football game this weekend. That code again, 1025GAME, for new players to get a shot at $100 on any football action on Sunday. For a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook, you must be 21 years of age or older, Tennessee only. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Restrictions do apply if you or someone you know has a gambling problem and needs help. Call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, our show brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joint Whiskey. Smoother than smooth. If you missed Sean Hendry's appearance on the show back in the first hour, president and CEO of the Predators, hey, they want to bring some of you back into the building. Next Tuesday and Wednesday is their next home tilts against the Blackhawks, and they are looking to sell 700 tickets for those two games, and they would love to get with some season ticket holders, and they're going to base it on priority, which is how long you've been a season ticket holder, the number of seats you have, type of season ticket package that you have. And you'll have the opportunity to be a part of an exclusive club Tuesday and Wednesday as they are trying to slowly bring bodies back, slowly and safely, I should say, bodies back into Bridgestone Arena. There's going to be an opportunity through a lottery, so you need to be checking your emails tomorrow because you'll have an opportunity, possibly, to take advantage of getting into the building on Tuesday and Wednesday. So remember to check, if you're a season ticket holder, check your email tomorrow. See if you got you were a lucky lottery winner. Just wanted to pass that along in case you missed it in the first hour. Tennessee has made it official. Not that we didn't already know it was official. There was enough people reporting on it. But Tennessee has now put it out there that Danny White indeed is going to be their next director of athletics. And according to Stadium, if you ever read their work, they said that he is the fourth best AD in the country. So looking at the remarks on social media, at least the early returns on this, I haven't seen anything negative. It seems like everybody's saying this is a home run hire. Am I missing something?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think you are.
I think it, especially under the circumstances where, let's just say, if you want to keep the baseball lingo and you say it's a home run, I think it's a home run on an 0-2 pitch, right? They were really down and out two or three days ago, and this really gives you a glimmer of hope, I think. Of all the candidates out there, this guy's got tremendous credentials. We read off the guys that he hired in his brief stops, right? I mean, he hired...
He's done a lot in a short
3 years
amount of time.
At Buffalo, he hires Nate Oates, who's now at Alabama. I don't know if you've seen Alabama start basketball season. They may be the best team in the conference. I mean, I don't know. Tennessee probably still is, but although they just got ran out off the floor in Gainesville, Alabama's rolling right
Alabama
now.
Drilled Tennessee.
They did.
So Nate Oates, great hire. He hired
Lance
football
Leopold.
Coach Lance Leopold, and at UCF, Scott Frost and Josh Heupel.
Yeah. He's 41 years old. That's pretty good.
And, of course, as comically was mentioned during the noon hour, or just before the noon hour, he's got a family Rolodex, right, that's going to serve him well. He's 41, but his whole family has been in athletics his whole life. He probably grew up with it. My dad was an athletic director. So I was around a college campus when I was growing up.
Why didn't you apply?
Well, what I'm saying is it means something, I think, he's got to know the business, right? I don't know what his background is as a player. Like, his brother was a pretty darn good college player, right? But he's just grown up in athletics. And so that probably has helped him. And his dad alone probably gives him a leg up in a network that goes way beyond your average 41-year-old.
So
tell everybody who his dad is.
Well, his dad was the longtime athletic director at Duke, and wasn't he at Notre Dame before that?
Yes. Kevin White. I think he was Arizona State, too, I believe, was on his resume.
Yeah, so where has he not been? Like, you think about what that's like growing up. You know, it goes back a ways, and so he's always had that connection.
And his brother is?
The head coach at Florida.
Yeah, Mike White. So, pretty good pedigree in his family. And when you think about it, him being 41 years of age, and just think about what we just laid out. He's been an AD since 2012. He's 41. Hello?
Nine years.
He's 33 years old when he became an athletics director.
That's rare even for somebody who's the
son
of an athletic director.
No question. Yeah. And he's already logged in 8-9 years already. I mean, you would think 41 it's like, wow, he's only 40, and he's getting his first crack at an AD job. No.
No, he's on his third.
He's already logged 9 years as an AD, and he's 41, or 8 years, whatever it is.
Yeah. So I think we'd all agree that until this week, we didn't know much about Tennessee Chancellor Dante Plowman, correct? Because typically you don't learn much.
Typically you don't. You don't know anything about, right?
Right. And we still don't, except for, you know, we had Jimmy Himes on the show, and he said that if you were going to say that anyone looked, you know, I guess was halfway good during that press conference, it was her. And
we
then,
interpreted his words as she won the press conference by default.
Right. But at least now with this hire, and it's got to play out, it goes back to what I said earlier, you got to now let him do his job, let Danny White do his job, but... It's like, okay, so far, what Dante Plowman has done this week, I'm sitting here going like, okay, maybe. Now, don't get my hopes up here, but let's see.
Well, I think regardless, you can't sit there and go, this guy has no credentials, right? It may not work out, but his credentials are, this guy would have been sought after by a lot of people. So I think that's a good check mark for Tennessee. I wonder... What was the process, right? My question of the week to everybody has been, who's hiring the next AD? Either this search firm cranked out a name faster than lightning.
No kidding. It never goes this fast, does it?
I don't think. Somebody must have called somebody and said, hey, yeah, you might ought to consider this guy down at UCF because he's out there. Like, who was the connector? I just don't know that Dante Plowman is sitting there going, yeah, I know who the next AD is going to be. Somebody had to call her and say, you know what? You need to direct your search to this guy.
You know what it feels like? It feels like the Albert Hainsworth deal in Washington. Like, really?
Yeah.
You put this together this quick? Huh?
You do wonder.
You had
right?
the
like,
press conference
So was
Monday
the search
afternoon
firm out there before we knew it?
See, Monday afternoon you had a press conference, and Thursday morning you've got your guy, and it's a really good hire. Really, that happened that fast? Yeah, I don't think this this took place after the press conference on Monday. It sounds like maybe this deal has been in the works for a little bit.
Now,
that's the way I interpret it.
Right. Could this be the case that a place like the quote Parker search firm that's been around for a long time, and you have a family that's been in athletics for a long time, could it be possible that the first name on the Parker search firm list for really any good job might have been this guy,
Willie,
Danny White?
Let's be honest. It never happens this fast. Like I said, I mean, this is equivalent to Albert Haynesworth signing a $100 million deal at 12:05 when free agency began at midnight.
Yeah,
it's like,
done.
Really? You put together a contract that size in 5 minutes? Huh, son of a gun. Because this just became official at midnight. You know, free agency period began, and you signed at 12:05. That's weird. I mean, typically, we know how these things work. All this does not come together in 2.5 days. Come on.
No.
And by the way, you know, Philip Fulmer, you know, air quotes, retires, and we find out yesterday already where there's, you know, what he's going to get for the next 3 years every month. You know, I interpret this as a lot of things have been going on behind the scenes for a little bit now.
Well, and here's another question I don't know the answer to, because when I was reading up on Danny White, he signed an extension with UCF back in March. Are there buyouts that Tennessee has to pay? Do you guys know?
No clue. Danny White has energy, experience, and vision with a proven record of success. The greatest decade in the history of UT athletics begins right now. That's coming from President Boyd. You shouldn't say that. There's no reason.
He's got some doozies on the quote list.
No reason to say that.
He's either going to look like a genius, or he's got a great portfolio for the freezing cold takes somewhere down the road.
I have a feeling that for the introductory press conference, Randy Boyd's going to show up and they're going to be like, "Hey, listen,
just tone it down."
In like a wrestling outfit and jump off the top rope and
no, they're just going to say,
"Hey,
like listen,
Jerry Lawler, pull his strap down." I mean, what is he? I mean, this guy. Yikes!
They're going to be like, he's going to be like, "Hey, I'm ready to go for the press conference." Yeah, listen, we're going to do this without you.
I got these great quotes over there.
We need you to set up the snack table for afterwards. That's what we're going to have you do. We got this under control.
Did you watch Jerry Lawler as a wrestler, Chase, or was that before you? So you remember him?
Yeah.
When I reference him pulling down the strap. Okay. So I didn't know if you had ever actually seen him when he was a wrestler.
I've actually seen him wrestle in person.
Well, I'm not talking about just jumping up there as an announcer and jumping in there and things.
No,
happen.
I've seen him wrestle a match.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he's still up until his, I mean, I think he's had like 5 heart attacks, but up until his last one, he was still wrestling matches on occasion for WWE. So there was a Raw here in Nashville that I saw him wrestle.
I mean, I just feel like, you know, President Boyd is kind of like Jerry Lawler when he gets mad. He stops and he's just staring, and then he whips down that strap off his shoulder, and now he's ready to get down to business. I mean, I love his enthusiasm, but yikes.
Yeah.
That's a little strong out of the gates. Like, you can be happy about your hire, but you're ready. You threw the flag down, like, this is going to be the greatest decade in UT athletics coming up? Okay. Well, like I said, love the enthusiasm, but Willie has a good point. Either this is going, he's going to look really smart, or it is going to be freezing cold takes for sure on Twitter.
Well,
the Chancellor Plowman says, "We undertook this search with urgency and found strong interest from a robust candidate pool, enabling us to act quickly with great confidence. I'm proud to say we found our leader."
Was the robust candidate pool like, you know, on LinkedIn? You just look through profiles when you already had this guy, you know, picked out? Like, where did this candidate pool come from in 3 days?
It wasn't even three.
Or 2 days.
A little bit over two.
Yeah. I don't know. I will say, and again, it's got to play out, but my gut tells me of reading the resume and what he's done in such a short amount of time as an AD, that if this doesn't work out, I think it's more on Tennessee's end and not his.
like everybody's excited. What if he gets up to the podium when he has his initial presser and he sounds like Jeremy Pruitt? What if he starts going, can you imagine what the Tennessee fans will do?
Well, here's the first question in my mind. He hired Leopold at Buffalo.
Not Craig. Lance.
Pretty hot name right now. I wouldn't put him in the category of a Tom Herman or anything like that, but he was on the radar for several jobs, including Vanderbilt. So he was in the ballpark in some discussions here. He knows Lance Leopold, right? Does he figure that this is – does he see him as the guy? I think it's possible.
I think it's an easy dot to connect just because
of
their –
why you say Lance Leopold? I mean, why not Josh Heupel?
Josh Heupel is a good one.
And Heupel, was he not the OC at Missouri? Is that right?
Well, I mean, Heupel speaks for itself. I mean, he goes back a long way.
By the way, did you see who Missouri hired as their DC today? Steve Wilkes.
Huh. Oh, wow.
I know.
Yeah, well, he's traveled around a little bit the last couple of years, huh?
Sure has, but it's all been in the NFL. He hasn't been in college in like 15 years.
Yeah, Heupel was the OC at Missouri 16 and 17, so at least he's got a little experience in the SEC. Not that that, you know, matters always.
Okay, so let's just take those two guys alone. That's not a bad starter list, right, in a deal where 48 hours ago we're going, who would take this job, right? You might have two guys that are – pretty well credentialed, that might be very solid choices.
Well, maybe he knows the next Nate Oates or Josh Heupel or Lance Leopold in college football. Who knows?
And then there's Chadwell, who's got ties to the state, you know, probably would have a lot of interest in the job, that got bypassed from South Carolina, got looked at by Vanderbilt. But I don't know. I'm throwing it out there.
No, I know. But can it work in the SEC?
I think you got to look beyond what's the system, right? Everybody's going to figure out your system over time. You might have a great system you bring to the table for a season, but it's really more big picture. It's really, can you lead and build a great environment?
So, Darren, you've been pretty outspoken on you would rather them for coach go the experience route and not so much the up-and-comer. Have you changed your stance on that at all now that you know who the AD is?
Yeah, remember, I went on the assumption that they weren't going to get a wow candidate at AD.
Right, that's why.
I think it's fair to say, all right, I kind of felt like with all the things that we've talked about with their leadership or lack of, that the best way to overcome that is to get somebody who's been there, done it, and has got all the experience. Now you bring in a guy like this that everybody's glowing. And look, sometimes the home run hires turn out to be the home run in the grand slam, right? And then sometimes the home run hire, you're left scratching your head going, what happened? And I know we're about to find out, you know, how this is going to play out. Remember when Tom Herman and Chaka Smart were hired at Texas? Everybody went nuts, right? Like, oh, my goodness. What an unbelievable home run hires, right, on both fronts whenever they were hired. And, you know, for whatever reason, it didn't work. Who was it? Fox at Georgia? He gets hired as the Georgia basketball coach.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, home run hire. Wow. What a great hire for Georgia basketball. Dud. And then sometimes they end up being exactly as advertised. We're about to find out. I find it when you look at his resume and his bloodlines, this one just feels right, you know, without knowing, it feels different. Like, I would be probably just out of the gates today leaning towards, I would be more surprised if he ends up being a failure at this than him living up to the expectations.
As would I. And I also think that it's – pretty, because they move so fast on this, and I know they're still late in the game on hiring a coach, I think it's not going to be Kevin Steele. He's going to go get his guy, whether it's an established guy or
it doesn't feel like
one
Kevin
of these
Steele
guys
anymore.
That we're talking about. A name that's established that I don't believe has come up when we've had the conversations over the last few days, But do you think that somebody like Danny White that has the track record could reach out to Chris Peterson and just gauge interest? Because Peterson's been out for, what, 2 years now? A year?
No idea.
But would that, I mean, does Chris Peterson not fit the mold of what you're looking for?
Well, I mean, like I said, but I just also admitted, like, I look at this guy's resume. He's earned the right to trust that he can find the next person, whether it's established or up-and-comer. I've said so far the people that they've been hiring up-and-comers hasn't worked, but this guy has a pretty darn good track record. He's been able to find talent that has worked. So I think in this case, when you look at his body of work and who they just hired, you kind of have to just sit back and say, all right, let's see what he thinks is best. Is it up-and-comer or is it established guy? You know, I don't know.
When I say you, what you're looking for, I didn't mean you, Darren. I meant, you know, Tennessee.
Yeah. Chase, why don't you tell them why people should take my free picks and go to BetMGM and make some money?
Yes, indeed, because they're the king of sportsbooks. That's why. And they invite you to discover a brand new way to bet parlays. I've hit on some parlays. I've lost on some parlays. And, you know, it's going to go either way. They have one-game parlays. It's an exciting new feature designed to help you make selections within a single game from over 400 bet types, including team and player props. Log into your BetMGM account and raise the stakes for a chance to win big. Making your same game win, total, and prop picks is easy with one-game parlay. If you're new to BetMGM, sign up today. Make every play of every game matter more than ever. You can make a one-game parlay bet on pro football, soccer, and NBA, and more sports will be coming soon. Go ahead and take your favorite player to score, the home team to cover, and the over in yards for the star running back. It is that simple. Log in today or download the BetMGM app and try one game parlay. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You must be 21 years or older. Must be present in Tennessee. For gambling problem support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789. This is the end. Beautiful friend,
this is the end. Don't forget to tune in to Robbie and Rex Road tomorrow morning at 8:45. Chance to participate in Pred's Pick to Click. You can win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. So tomorrow morning at 8:45, and it's always on Pred's game day. Tomorrow night they take on the Dallas Stars down in Big D. That game will have a puck drop at 7:30. I'll have pregame for you at 6:30. So tune in to them tomorrow morning, 8:45. You got a chance to pick a Predators player to score against the Stars tomorrow night and win a cool prize pack. So keep that in mind tomorrow morning at 8:45. There's some news and notes to pass along. If you have not heard throughout the course of the show today, the Memphis Grizzlies have postponed their next three games. It looks like the Steelers have signed the former first-round pick of Washington. Steelers signed quarterback Dwayne Haskins, so we'll see where that goes. Also, something that we haven't passed along, sad story coming out of Packerland. The former GM, Ted Thompson, has died. He's the guy who drafted Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, big-time architect of that organization that, if you take a look, has been pretty consistent for a long time.
Drafted Aaron Rodgers and traded for Brett Favre. Not bad. Not bad.
Not bad at all.
68 years old. I haven't seen a reason. Have you guys?
No.
I have not.
Have not. A couple other things. We mentioned this at the top of the show, but Kyle Granlund cleared to practice for the first time, is expected to travel to Dallas. I would think that that's happening here very soon if they're not already in the air. They don't think he'll be in the lineup tomorrow, but I think Sunday is a target, perhaps. Not guaranteed, but the countdown is certainly there. And they made some adjustments to the taxi squad, and it's now becoming a little more significant. As you pointed out with Elliot Friedman, Chase, the AHL camp starts tomorrow in Chicago. So they're going to have to send some guys to Chicago, which means it's not going to be as easy to slide a guy from the AHL roster to the taxi squad to the real roster. You're going to have to really declare now who your taxi squad is. And it looks like Tomasino is going to be on the taxi squad for now. So he'll get a chance to practice with the big boys for a while, see what he brings to the table.
Yeah, and John Hines said there's no timetable or set plan for what they're going to do with him. He said if he feels like that playing some NHL games is going to help them and help Tomasino, that's what they'll do, but they're going to essentially take it day by day.
And just like we will. I got to take it day by day after my problems late in the 11 o'clock hour, that I'm going to go back through the tape. I got to break down what happened. I got to make sure it doesn't happen tomorrow.
We'll be fine. We'll be just fine. And sometimes if we can, provide a little humor out there at our expense, then it's okay. It also looks like, before we get out of here, that the Eagles have conducted their search for their next head coach, and they have found their guy, and it's coming out of the Titans division. Looks like a Colts offensive coordinator, Nick Sirianni. Is that how you say it?
Either Sirianni or Sirianni.
Sirianni. Hey, Sirianni. Who is the next
Eagles quarterback?
Who's the next Eagles head coach?
My phone just went off for that. Thanks.
Your quarterback is Carson Wentz.
Which would only leave the Texans job open, right? Dan Campbell today sworn in Detroit, and he said he wants his guys biting kneecaps. So good luck in Detroit with Dan Campbell.
Dan Campbell versus Mike Vrabel in a wrestling match. Let's go.
Whew. All right. That will do it for us. You have a great rest of your day. Continue to be safe, and we will talk to you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. to wrap up the week. See you then.
You're on to Cincinnati.